The other one is the road less traveled. You know, the road less traveled, because not a lot, it says that narrow is the way. So it's not a well-traveled road. And actually, it's only traveled by you, because as an individual, Jesus leads you alone. It's nobody else's path. It's just your path. And so we're going to take a little journey this morning. Let's go ahead and open the word up in prayer. Father God, we come before you just humbly, submitting ourselves, Lord, to your word and to your truth and to the theme, Lord God, that you want to continue to work in us, Lord, that you would give us those hinds feet, Lord, so that we could follow you to the high places, that the word, Lord, would strengthen us and transform us, because that's what you're in the business of doing. So we bring this teaching before you. We pray that you would be honored, lifted up, glorified, that your love, Lord, would flow through to the women in a way that they are touched. And again, that this teaching would just be like that beautiful packaging that just wraps up a package so perfectly, Lord, and brings all the pieces together. It's the last piece of the puzzle, Lord God, that you're putting together. May it refresh us. May it refocus us. May it open our eyes to what you're continuing to want to say, Lord, to fill our cup now, God, to overflowing is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we know that the shepherd called poor Much Afraid to the heights. And the first place that she met him was the trysting place. And then we talked a little bit before when you guys were here about just that trysting place is the first place of obedience, where you come before the Lord and you say yes. And it's that baby step, that little teeny tiny baby step that we take. I think some people in the military, they call it getting your marching orders. I think Mission Impossible, dun, 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 dun. This is your mission, and in 5 seconds it will self-destruct. You guys remember that show? Okay, so, you know, God's giving us some marching papers. He's giving us our order. He's giving us our path. And the first step of obedience, it was the trysting place. She traveled at the foothills of the mountains, and she met her companion, sorrow and suffering. She learned to accept their help. And for all of us, I think, hopefully yesterday, as we looked at different companions, who might our companions be, that you received, you either realized, oh, sorrow and suffering, those are mine too, or other things that the Lord's allowed to be your companions. She took the detour through the desert. We learned all about all the different kinds of grains and what happens. And in part of the book, it talks about, and you guys probably know this, but like white rice isn't as good as brown rice for you to eat. And what's the reason? Because the brown rice actually still has the hull. And the hull is where all the nutrients are. So that's why you should always eat brown rice, even though it doesn't taste as good. Well, maybe it does to some. But what she was talking about is they're breaking that, and that chaff, that it's coming off the wheat, or it's coming off the rice, or whatever it is, that's breaking away. And so it's a breaking that happens when we go through the desert and we take that detour. She journeyed through just along the shores of loneliness. And that was a place that Much Afraid was at. She crossed the seawall. She experienced the agony of disappointment and frustration when she was in the wilderness. She walked through the woods and the valleys to the precipice of injury, through the forest of danger and tribulation. She encountered the great storm, the endless mist. She was led down into the valley of loss and then back up again on the aerial chairs, being prepared for burial. And after she died to herself, she was led to the springs, the refreshing springs of Marah. So I guess I really wanted to go back just a little bit. This message was entitled on your outline, Joy Comes in the Morning. But there was 4 things that she learned. But she had to learn a couple things on the altar first. And some of you experienced that, but it is so beautifully, beautifully written in the book that if you have the book, I'd like to read it together with you. If not, allow me to read to you. But if you have the book, go ahead and open up to page 197. We're going to start at the place of burial. And so much afraid realized that in all the world, only one thing really mattered, to do the will of the one she followed and loved, no matter what it involved. Strangely enough, she knelt there by the altar, seemingly abandoned to that last tremendous crisis. There was no sign or sound of the presence of her enemies. As we go down to 198, one flame burned there steadily, the flame of consecrated desire to do his will. Everything else had died down and fallen into ashes. On page 199 at the very bottom, basically she comes to the altar and it says, I am a very great coward, and I'm afraid that the pain may cause me to try to resist you. Will you bind me to the altar in some way so that I cannot move? And this is the verse of this whole book that just got me. I would not like to be found struggling while the will of my Lord is done. I don't want to struggle against the will of the Lord. I don't want to struggle. When the Lord calls me to an altar, I just want to lay there. But she knew she was weak, and so she asked to be bound to that altar. So as the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, the priest comes from behind the altar, she's been trying with all of her power to get rid of her own self-natural love and desire, the things that we're born with. We're born with a heart. There's a lot of people that don't know Jesus that love. Every mother loves her children. You know, there's a lot of love in the world. I mean, you know, non-believers sing about it. You turn on the radio, it's all about love. But when you want the supernatural love of Jesus Christ, it has to be something that he places in your heart. So this whole journey is about her realizing the things about her own heart. So with her last little bit of strength, much afraid, tries to pull out the self-love. And the roots are just so deep and tingly, and she's so weak she can't do it. So she looks to her companions. She looks to suffering. She looks to sorrow. These are her friends now. And it's like looking out to you, will you pull this out of my heart? Pull this out of me. And they said, this is something we can't do for you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And the way you do it is by laying yourself on the altar and letting the priest, Jesus Christ himself, come and pull it out. And when he pulls it out, no little rootlet was found. Have you ever tried to pull out a weed? And you know, you pull it, maybe a few of the leaves come out, and you get down. Finally, you're like, all your nails are just dirty with mud. You're getting down in there, and you pull that whole thing out. And as you pull it out, it's not just the root, but it's all these other little things that stick out of it. And so the priest was able to come and pull that out. But, you know, it's a painful process, dying to self-will. And a lot of you have experienced that. Last night, you were dying. You were asking. You were in a place finally where you were willing to surrender. And that is a beautiful, beautiful place. But you have to go through that to experience the high places. And putting yourself on the altar like that is not something that you do just one time in your life. It's every time you come to a place where God reveals to you and you recognize your weakness and you recognize that, oh my goodness, there's something in there that the Lord has to take away, and it's that self. And we're going to battle with that. We're going to go to a high place. We're at a high place this weekend. And like I said, if you looked at our visual, there she is at the top of that high place. But when she looks out, there's another high place. There's always higher places, deeper places for us to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our journey. And eventually, the highest place of all is going to be in heaven with him, where we won't be battling with the flesh anymore. But until that day comes, it's going to be a battle. And it's going to be a continual altar that the Lord asks us to lay ourselves on. And he's so gentle, and he's so gracious, and he doesn't ask us to do anything that he has not done himself. And that's the beauty of following the Lord. The last offering, your will, laid down at the altar last night. God spoke to you through his word, his servants, through the teachings, through the workshops. But now, many of you have experienced and maybe for the first time, or maybe for a renewed time, a sense of utter, overwhelming rest and peace. that you could actually sleep last night because you told me this thing that you've been fighting and struggling and wrestling with, you had finally laid it down at the altar. And I know that happened to be true because I had a woman in my room who did a cheer and a dance about the Lord this morning. And only she could have done that if she had been truly released from the Lord last night for whatever situation she was in. And I said, did you used to be a cheerleader? Oh no, but you know what? We can all be cheerleaders for the Lord when he releases us. I mean, it was a crazy little dance that she was doing, and she was, you know, and it was just like so refreshing. So you know what? It's time. We die. It's the burial. We recognize that. And now we're coming into joy. Finally, we're at the place of joy coming in the morning. So we've taken this journey, and this is where we're at. I'm just going to read the four things that Much Afraid learned for those of you that haven't read the book. If you have the book and you want to open it up, it's on page 228 and 229. But the shepherd asks her, okay, what have you learned on this journey? And she says, well, the first thing I've learned is acceptance with joy, that you allowed to happen to me on the way, and everything which the path led me, never to evade it, but to accept it by laying my will on the altar. The second thing she learned, she said, I learned that I must bear all that others were allowed to do to me, and to forgive with no trace of bitterness, and to be able to say, and I put to Jesus, behold me, I am your handmaiden, bearing with love that I may receive power to bring good out of evil. The third thing she learned, Lord, you never regarded me as I actually was. I was lame, I was crooked, I'm cowardly, but you saw me perfect in the beloved as I would be when you had brought me to this high place, transformed and renewed and forgiven. And the fourth thing, every circumstance in life, no matter how crooked or distorted and ugly, can be transformed if it's reacted to in love and forgiveness and obedience to your will. So every situation, and I was thinking, Lord, what have I seen lately that has kind of put this in perspective for me? And I went to a play lately and saw My Fair Lady. And I don't know, some of you old timers, if the young girls don't know it, the mother should show their girls that movie. But it was just such a precious little upbeat kind of movie. And My Fair Lady, what happens is, she's a little poor flower girl with horrible speech, and Professor Higgins gets a hold of her, and Professor Higgins says, you know, I can transform her. I will make her become, people will think she's a princess. And so he brings this poor little horrible sounding wretched little flower girl into his study and begins to work with her and changes her on the outside. And at the end, she actually makes that transition from the flower girl to the princess. She has on the jewels, she has on the gown. But the difference between, there was two men that were there. It was Professor Higgins and the Colonel. You guys know the story I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And the Colonel, when she finally realized, she said, the Colonel always treated me as if I were a lady. But Professor Higgins always saw me as a flower girl. And I think sometimes we're like Professor Higgins. We only see ourselves as the flower girl when we're a princess. And the way the Colonel saw her, the way the Lord Jesus Christ, the way the Father God sees us is through the Son, and we are perfected. We're not crippled and lame and maimed and cowardly. And I think that's what was so powerful. Again, that third principle, I learned, Lord, that you never regarded me as I actually was, lame, weak, crooked, cowardly. You saw me, perfect in the beloved, as I would be when you had brought me to the high places. So God's desire through every high place, through every trial, through every situation that we go through, is to transform us, because only He supernaturally can take these ugly, painful things that we're going through, things that... you know, the world would say there's really no good thing in us. And we know ourselves, the Bible says that the heart's deceitfully wicked, there's no good thing in us. And yet God can take those things and use every situation for His glory and for His good. And I don't know how He does it. And I'm sure He's done it for you in the past. If he hasn't, he's wanting to do that. And I know for me, he wants to continue to do that in the future, to take the pain, to take these things that she experienced, the things that she was bearing on her own. And the Lord said, you don't have to bear them alone anymore. And we talked about that last night. There was a word about, you know, God's burden, it's light. His yoke is easy if we allow him to carry for us. So those four principles, if you never read anything in the book and you just wanted to go to the main part, you wouldn't receive everything, but just go straight to page 228 and 229 and get those principles and read them over and make them a part of, even for a week or a month in your devotion time, those four things, acceptance with joy and bearing in love, all the things that we've put on ourselves and that other people have put on us. So now we're together, we're going to talk about joy, and I think the best place for us to go is Hebrews 12. So if you'll join me and open up the word to Hebrews 12. We're going to read this together. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted yet to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, as daughters. My daughter, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a daughter. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as daughters, for what daughter is not disciplined by her mother? What son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us, for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, and this is us girls, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And that's the point, this healing that came through being much afraid, being lame and crippled. And by the time she gets to this place on the high places, she's transformed and she has those hind feet. And that's our desire. And I think one thing that we haven't done yet, which we should go back to, is our theme scripture and read that passage. So let's go back to Psalm chapter 18. Read that together. And one good thing about your Bible is to underline it if need be. Did I say 13 or did I say 18?
18.
Okay, good. Let's read together 18 through 36, okay? I mean, excuse me, 30 to 36. Psalm 18, 30 to 36. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and he enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle, and my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your victory, your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. And you stoop down to make me great, and you broaden the path beneath me, so that my ankles do not turn. This particular psalm was written by David when he was dealing with Saul and being chased, and that God was protecting him, but that he broadens the path before me, and that he makes my ankles strong, and that he's made me a warrior. He's given me strength in my arms so that that I can pull back the bow, so that I have tools in my own personal armory that I can fight against the Lord. Promises that he's given me, just like I know that there's promises that he's given you. Things that you have to cling on to beyond a shadow of a doubt. A vision, a dream, a word from the Lord, a life verse. Do you all have a life verse? That's something that you can cling on to for your life. Part of my life verse is that the boundary lines have fallen for me in wonderful, great places, you know, and the Lord showed me not to jump over those boundaries that he's given me, because those are for my protection. Those are going to be the safest place for me to stay, is within this boundary that the Lord's given me. So there's things that you have to cling on to. Who were the Klingons? Was that Star Trek?
Yes.
I don't think they were very pleasant to look at, but I like the name, the Klingon, that we're to cling on to Jesus. That we're to cling on and not let him go. And that was the thing. As hard as Much Afraid's journey was, as hard as it was, she wasn't going to let go of the shepherd. She was going to get there somehow. She was afraid, yes. She struggled, yes. It was painful, yes. She was maimed and lamed, and she's thinking, how can I get up to this high place? I physically I can't do it. Physically she couldn't do it. But as she took those steps, God was transforming her. And God transforms us, spiritually speaking, from the inside, so that hopefully we're not the same person that we were 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. That we're closer to Jesus, that he has become, just like that song, more precious, more wonderful, more kind, more gentle, more loving. Because as we go down deeper, we learn more about him and we see the reflection of ourselves, and we fall so short. Sometimes when you're a new believer in the Lord, you think, oh man, I'm doing good, I'm a Christian, you know, but I think the longer you walk with the Lord, you realize your wickedness, and just, it gets worse with age, you know, and maybe you have more years to sin. That was one of the reasons why people couldn't live as long, because they were just so sinful. God had to cut the time frame that we could even be on the earth, because we just get ourselves in all kinds of situations, but the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, is gracious to us, and he can bring us through with joy. I like the part, and what I did is I love to write scripture down, and then I circle words and I highlight words, and in that passage, our theme passage, Psalm 18, 30 to 36, that whole passage, it says, as for God, his way is perfect, and he makes my feet, and he enables me, and he trains my hands for battle. And then it goes, he's talking about he, and then he goes to you, he gets it personal, and David says, you give me your shield of victory, you stoop down, you broaden the road. So a lot of times, even in our worship, there's breakthroughs that we get through in worship, and we sing songs, but there's a beauty when you take a song that says, the Lord is good, God is great, God hear his, but then there's a time when you get to a place where you say, you are good. And you personalize that worship, because it's not singing as a whole congregation anymore. Now it's just you and the Lord, and it's personal with you one-on-one. So feel free to change words in songs, even as we're singing them, to make it personal to you. And it's something that sometimes it's harder to do in a congregation, but that should be something that you're doing in your own personal worship time with the Lord. Do you ever wake up with a song in your heart so full of joy that you're just singing that little tune, you know? Whistling while you work, but you're whistling scripture, or you're singing that tune and it's inside your head, and you wake up that way. It doesn't happen every morning, but it's so precious when it does, when you know you've been sleeping all night long and the first thing that you think of is Jesus and what he's done for you, or what he's brought for you, and you just have that joy in your heart. You know, this kind of joy is that we can experience in the Lord, is it's supernatural in its origin. It's not based on the natural world. It's not tied to circumstance. It rises above that. It's joy of knowing that I am at peace with God, and that God's my friend, and I don't have to fear him. Of course, I have that reverent awe of the Lord, but that he's on my side. He's got my back. I don't have to worry. I can trust. I can trust. And that feeling of just, it is true joy. It's true joy. And it's something that is supernatural. If you will, with me, turn to the book of Revelation. As I was reading this, it didn't make me laugh, but this little part did. And I just, in my quiet time with the Lord, said, Lord, who would have thought that you are the ultimate tattoo artist? You know? The whole thing is, you know, we're kind of in that season of the world of tattoos, right? And when we get to Revelation, it's so incredible. So let's go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 19 together. 19:12. Actually, we'll go to 19:11. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war, and his eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. And he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword to which to strike down the nations. And just reading that, it's just like, man, we're up above there. Actually, go to verse 9. It says, and the angel of the Lord said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. And at this, poor John, I fell to my feet to worship him. And he said, don't do it. I'm a fellow servant, because he wanted to worship this angel. And he was like, no, it says, I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then this white horse comes down, and this rider called Faithful and True. Let's go back to Revelation 3 and see what that says about us. Revelation 3, verse 11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And you know what? God's going to put his own tattoo on it. It's going to be his new name. Amazing. What is that going to be? Much Afraid got a new name, and she was turned into Grace and Glory. Her companion, Sorrow and Suffering, got a new name, Joy and Peace. What is your name? Do you ever think about that? Lord, what is my name going to be? Is it going to be acceptance with joy? Is it going to be bearing in love? I don't want to use someone else's name. You know, that's why it's going to be unique. But think about it. What name would the Lord give you? You know? There used to be a little doll, and I think her name was, not Krabby Patty. I think that's SpongeBob. What was her name? Chatty Cathy? Yeah. You don't want to be a Chatty Cathy, right? There's all kinds of, you know, the little doll names that they get, you know, the ones that cry all the time or do things, you know, you want a supernatural name. You want something that the Lord has worked through you and in you to give you that new name. So we all are going to be tattooed for the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe we shouldn't have such an aversion to that. I have a quote from Mother Teresa, and I think it's a beautiful quote. It says, joy is a net of love by which you catch souls. We can do no great things, only small things with great love. And I think that as she went on her journey, she realized that once she'd got to this high place, once she had died to self, once she had been given her new name, and her companions had been given a new name, what happened to her heart? Her heart was turned back down to the valley of humiliation, to where all of her people lived. and she was drawn to them. Let me read this to you again. Joy, and that's what we're looking at, that joy comes in the morning. Joy is a net of love by which you catch souls. We can do no great things, only small things with great love. So now that she had the love, the supernatural love of the Lord Jesus Christ in her heart, much afraid, could go back down to minister. And so here we are on this, you know, we're looking out, we're on this high place. God's brought us to this high place and we're looking out. And yeah, there's another high place that the Lord is going to call us. But you know what? We're going to go back home. We're going to have our husbands and our families and that sphere of influence that God has only given us. And so hopefully that this weekend, that old selfness, love, ugly stuff has been rooted out. God has placed the supernatural love. We've surrendered our will. We don't want it our way anymore. We want it His way. We realize that His way is the perfect way for us as an individual. And that everything, that's what I love about this book, everything that she went through, God had a purpose in it. She didn't see it at the time, but He had a purpose for it. And He has a purpose for the things that you've been through. You may not see it. You still may not see it yet, because you know what? I know that there's still things that the Lord wants to deal with me. That's why I'm coming on retreat next year, because there's going to be a new set of things that the Lord wants to teach me. The one thing that's great about retreat and for my own personal life is that, and you know, the Lord knows where He puts us, why He puts us, but because I want that freshness from the Lord, He is so faithful. And every year before retreat, He'll give me next year's retreat. And some of you leaders already know that God's given me next year's retreat. And it's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. You're going to just be blown away with what the Lord is going to show us next year. But we're at this place. But you know what? It's kind of like the master calendar. You know, you have to have something planned out there for you to get excited about. And that's why we have calendars, where we can put those birth dates in and we can put the holidays in and we get excited as these things are coming. Easter's coming. What an incredible time is that for us to share with people, to get one of those stakes and put it in our yard. Come to church with me on Sunday. I'm a Christian. I'm celebrating. You may never have shared with anybody in your neighborhood before, but you can put that out and they'll know, hey, this is where she goes to church and this is where she's going for Easter and she wants you to come with her. And maybe that will bring someone. Who knows? We got to think outside the box. And I think that's what we've been trying to do, is think outside the box. We've done so many different things. And maybe for the ladies this is your first time on retreat, you think this is how it always is. But we've done different things. We had prayer cards. The prayer cards have been awesome. We haven't had that before. That was a total blessing for you guys to put that prayer request and put that in there and know that it was getting prayed for. And they did get prayed for. We had a prayer calendar, and we prayed before you know, all of January and all of February up to the time of the retreat, and even people praying on retreat during this weekend that all that the Lord wanted to accomplish, He would accomplish. We've really actually never used a book like this before on a retreat. We usually just take a passage of scripture, but it's such a personal journey, such a personal book that I think for at least those of the ladies that read the book, it ministered to them. And they were able to be more effective ministers to you because they had read this book. Of course, priority number one is always to read the Word of God. So we don't look to a lot of other books or a lot of other people, or you know, we go to the Word. But this is just, her heart was so wanting to be intimate with the Lord. And I guess that's the place that the Lord had me and the Lord had your leaders. And He wants all of us to have just a deeper, intimate relationship with Him, where He can call us and speak to us. The one verse in Isaiah that I wanted to share with you, and let's go ahead and turn there. I don't know if I can remember where it is now. Go to Isaiah, and we're going to have to. Okay, Lord, if you want me to share that. About not looking to the right or to the left. I didn't underline it. Okay, but anyways, what it talks about, it just talks about forgetting what's happened before, forgetting our disobedience. The Lord still wants to speak to us.
30:21.
Oh, what is it? 30?
Isaiah 30:21.
Oh, the Bible answer woman is amongst us. I love that. Yeah. Oh, I did underline it. Thank you, Wynn. How gracious will he be when you cry for help? This is 30:19. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. 30:21 reads, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Okay, Isaiah 30. We're going to go to 19. 19 read, how gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. And although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Then you go down to 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And anytime Much Afraid got overwhelmed, she cried out for the shepherd, and the shepherd would come. He promised her that he would. And here is that principle in the truth, in the word, the truth of the word, that when we call out on the Lord, he is there. We may not know, you're on this little, you know, there's a fork in the road. Do I go to the right or to the left? You cry out to the Lord, and he will. It says the sheep know his voice. And that's what this weekend was about, just unplugging our ears so that we can, again, be reminded of what the voice of the Lord really sounds like to us personally. Sometimes it's an audible voice. Sometimes it's an impression from the Word. Sometimes it's very, very quiet, like a whisper. Sometimes, the Lord showed himself through lots of different ways in the Old Testament. Sometimes it came through nature. Came through the wind, and it was that still, you know, it wasn't the wind, it was that still small voice. You got to listen to it, and sometimes there's a thing called white noise, which means some people are actually addicted to that, like they can't ever have anything quiet. There always has to be some kind of noise in the background, the radio on, the TV on, some kind of noise, you know, and I think that we need to get away from that, and we need to just find that place, that trysting place with the Lord. I don't know where that is for you guys. Maybe in your car. Maybe locked up in your bathroom if you have little kids because you don't have any privacy anywhere else. Maybe in the garage. Maybe in your closet. Maybe at your desk. Maybe someplace. Someplace in your house or in your bedroom where it's your place. Just like Gail was talking about. You know, she gets into her car and there's a certain tree and, you know, but that's her place that she goes to meet with the Lord. Where is your place? Where is your trysting place where you wrestle through things with the Lord Jesus Christ? I had this one of my, and I've had several places, but this one place that I had bought my daughter this little couch and I found it at like Goodwill for like $5 and it was just such a great deal. Where can you get a couch for $5? And anyways, I brought it, got it in my van all by myself, brought it in the house and set it there. And when she came home, she was like, oh mom, you know, we really already have a couch. We don't need that. And then, you know, I'm crushed, but I thought, well, it was only $5. I guess I'm not that crushed. But as I began to sit in that chair, it was like this little two-person couch. It was like the most comfortable couch. And, you know, usually when you're in a room, you have a couch against the wall so that you can converse. But I had to turn the couch outward because I had a really great view out my living room window. And on a clear day, I could see the ocean. And I could sit there and have my quiet time with the Lord with this big picture window and look out. And it was precious. And it was precious. I don't have that spot anymore, but I can still go back in my mind and see that spot because I know the things that the Lord spoke to me and taught me and revealed things about himself to me at that place. Those are the places that you guys need to find. You know, of course you need to find the time, we talked about that, but you need to find the place. You know, you need to make a place, wherever that place is. And it needs to be a quiet place where there's no noise, where you turn off the cell phone, you don't answer it, you don't whatever. You get a pad, you get a paper, you get the Word of God, and you spend time with Jesus. And that's truly how you transform. He transforms you. You don't transform yourself. He transforms you, but you have to make the opportunity. Now, making the opportunity is a huge, that's the battle. That is The number one battle is making the opportunity. So from you ladies, those of you that I don't want you to share it if it's not true. I want you to, you know, it would be awful to tell a lie amongst all of us. But I want you to share, if you have a place like that, I want you to stand up this morning and share where that place is so that the ladies that don't have that place yet can have some fresh ideas. Okay. Go ahead, Becky.
Mine is actually not a home. I have a beautiful home, and I could go to the backyard, or I can go into my home, but I can't because there's always a phone call, there's always somebody distracting me. And so what I do is I get in the car, and I go. And I, wherever, I, sometimes it's just a parking lot, and there's nobody around. And I just find the seat, and there I go. And sometimes it's been, it sounds weird, but I have a little seat at Chick-fil-A. It's Christian music in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I don't hear cussers, you know, because if you go to McDonald's or something, you hear a lot of kids cussing. Lately it's been actually Chick-fil-A, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's one little corner, it's like out, you know. And
it's your spot.
It's my spot.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been really, really an awesome thing.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Debbie? And how early do you get up to do that?
Six.
Six. Okay. Okay. Ah, okay. Okay. Lori? Your chair. Yeah, a comfy chair in your room. Okay, all right. Someone else was standing up. Who was that? Was that you, Roseanne?
No, not me.
Oh, go for it.
My car is basically my worship and my quiet time. So that's the only place that I feel comfortable besides church. Also, but my car is my main worship. Mm.
Amen. Okay.
How could you use a car, Lord?
Yeah. It is amazing. Okay. Praise the Lord. Francis? Wow. And is it just in bed? You just kind of sit up in bed and you have... Stand up for me. I sat with you, but I forgot your name. Tina, right?
In the car, a place of worship. And, you know, my car is where my child is a captive audience, and her friends, you know, they're captive there, and whatever the praise music they listen to while I'm, because I've got it tuned in, or whether I'm sharing, they can't go anywhere. They have to listen to it. But for me, specifically, you know, I've been trying to watch my weight because I have some arthritis knees and try to lose weight and stuff. I've been walking, and that walking track, even though I hate exercise, it's become my place of worship because, beautiful. You know, you put your tunes on, and while I'm walking, even though my body is hating it, spiritually, I'm just praising God that I can walk.
Amen.
And it's my prayer time right now. Yeah.
Wow, great. I'm gonna walk. Go ahead. Go ahead, Heather.
I know when I feel like the world's just like crushing in on me and I feel overwhelmed, I take a couple hours and I go to the beach. Because as I was telling the girls yesterday, the way I see God the most is as my creator. And so when I look at the ocean, I see so many characteristics of the ocean and I see that in God as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to the beach, it gets me away from the city, it gets me away from the noise and from the hustle and bustle, and I wrestle things out with God. I take my blanket, I take my Bible, and I've slept there before, not overnight, but I've taken naps at the beach just to get away from everything.
Mm-hmm.
Amidst like the storm.
Mm.
So,
praise the Lord. Wonderful.
Sandra?
I see kind of a theme of people having to get up early before anybody else in the family's up. Okay. That was one thing also too in our book that, I mean, the reason that we had the bird wasn't the hind feet, but the bird, as it flew around, the song that it sang is, he is victorious. He is victorious. And that was the little tune that as the bird was flying around. So it could go up to the high places or down at the low place, wherever, but it could fly around and she'd get through a situation, and that's what she heard. Anybody else?
It takes a couple of trips, but going over Colima, towards Hacienda, the mountains are just so, and then you put on the fish station, and then you just go over, and then when you turn around and come back, you see the other side, you see the ocean, you see all the lights at night, and that's awesome.
That is awesome. That is an awesome, I know right what you're talking about, it is awesome. Okay. Oh.
My drive to the home station is out. I could just feel like the rest of the world is dying and opportunity.
Okay, so a theme, a big huge theme is in your bedroom, in the car, early before anybody gets up without the distraction. So, you know, I guess that's a good word for all of us, because some of us it's very, very hard to get up early. Very hard, very difficult, that huge sacrifice. But however God's calling you to do that, he is calling you. It's his precious voice whispering, come spend time with me. Come away. Come up higher. I want you. I want to meet with you. And that you know, he doesn't force us. And that's what that beautiful part that we read earlier today in the study, but It was finally when she was willing to submit her will, and that she wanted that more than anything else. And when you get to that place where you want Jesus more than anything else, you want Jesus more than your marriage, you want Jesus more than your job, you want Jesus, you know, more than your children, you want Jesus above anything and anyone, that it all comes into perspective. So that's the place she got to. Hopefully that's the place that, that we've come to today, that we would be able to go up to the high places. The Lord's beckoning us. He's calling us. His precious voice is saying, come up higher, my beloved. Spend time. Draw into me. I will meet you. I will whisper the truth to you that I want you to know. But you got to make the time. So that's my challenge. Make the time. Choose Jesus. Surrender. All the things, think of all the retreats you've been to. I think those are some of the words on all of our, believe that he'll do it. The Lord has, he's just so loving and so kind and so gentle, and there's no condemnation. And even if you forget to, or you've hardened your heart not to, this is the weekend where he softened your heart, and he's calling you again, and he calls you without condemnation. He doesn't call you like, you know, we call people and say, hey, I haven't talked to you for a while. Did you die? What happened? Where'd you go? What are you, you know, did you take a vacation and forget to tell me? I mean, you know, no, he's not like that. He's just right there, willing to accept any time and energy and effort that you want to put towards your relationship with him. And he wants it, and he desires it, and you're better for it. And that's working at your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, if you want to make it into the kingdom, if you want to make it at the very end to the highest peak that actually leads you into the heavenlies when you pass from this life to the next, you got to work at it by yourself. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. Your friend, you know, your leader, your Bible study coach, your, you know, what, your pastor's wife, your whoever is your mentor. Nobody can get you there. You got to work it. Yourself. You gotta work it yourself. So you do it with his help, with his wooing, with his preciousness. And what allows us to do it is because when we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. Couldn't do it on our own. So it's gonna be the Holy Spirit that gives you the sustaining power. When we try to do things on our own, there's not a sustaining to it. There's not, you fall off. They call you, you fall off the wagon. You just can't do it anymore. You just don't want to do it anymore. And you just choose not to. But you know what? In your walk with the Lord, you've got to keep going forward. You've got to keep moving forward. So that's the call for us this morning. Let's pray. Thanking the Lord for all that he's done. We're going to have communion together. Let's pray. Father God, you're faithful. You've met us this weekend, Lord. You've taken this story, Lord, by Hannah Hernard, Lord, this little character of much afraid and made her so real to us, Father. She's been transformed now that we're at the end of the book, Lord, into grace and glory, glory and grace. And Lord, we want to be transformed. It's our desire, Father, to spend the time with you, to be refreshed, to be renewed. We do want you to put your everlasting name on us, Lord God. We want to be called your daughters. We want to enter the kingdom, Lord, with a crown of jewels that we can lay at your feet. We want to endure, and we want to finish the race, and not just finish it, Lord, just barely getting there, but to finish it well, and for you to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's our heart's cry. So go before us. We're going to take communion, that you would again reveal yourself to us as we take communion, as we worship together, as we think of all the things that you've done. May again, by the power of your Holy Spirit, may our ears have been cleared out and cleaned out this weekend so that we can hear your still small voice whispering to us. May it be our ultimate will and desire to lay ourselves down on the altar to sacrifice to you, Lord God, our stubborn, rebellious will, for you to change our heart in such a way, Lord God, that now we want to go down and minister to the ones that hurt us, to minister to the ones that shunned us, that didn't love us, that threw us to the side, to the left, to the right. Let us go down now that we have been changed and we have your Holy Spirit and your love. May it be our joy, Father, to catch souls for you, for your kingdom. We may not be able to do great things, but we can do small things with great love because it's your love. Your love is great. Your love is amazing. You are wonderful and awesome and glorious and gentle and kind. And you lead us by example. Thank you that you endured the cross for me, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you endured the cross for all of us here, because the joy set before you is that we would be able to spend eternity with you. So help us to get to the other side in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.